16 Minutes of Care is a podcast based on the CARE principles, a strategic framework that reveals how brands create impact by caring and, as a result, grow their business. In each episode, Isabel welcomes a company executive who explains how CARE has helped their business grow successfully and sustainably.
I'm very happy to welcome Ali Sevik. He is the founder and CEO of HR On. They develop innovative tools to make human resources related tasks easier. Welcome, Ali. Welcome back.
Thanks.
In the first episode, we talked about the special employee manifesto you have. Now I'm very curious how you would apply the CARE principles within your company. And I would like to start straight off with collaboration and internal collaboration. How do you do that at HR On, specifically because the people are so free to take holidays whenever they want, work whenever they feel like? How do you enhance collaboration then?
Yeah, collaboration is based on teams and based on projects. So we do not have hierarchies. That is, you don't have people in charge of something. We have projects, things to be solved, and you have people. So you can have, as a person, you can have be a part of different teams having different roles. So collaboration is based on teams who are have a certain task. And each team has a team leader, which is not the same as a manager, but the team leader is the captain, working together with the people, but the captain who also takes care of coordinating this task with other parts of the team. And since we do not have hierarchies and we do not have departments, the teams are running everything. We have teams for development, programming. We have teams for support, marketing, communication, accounting, etc. So it's team-based, and the teams are empowered to take any decision regarding their project and their domain.
And I suppose that also within the team, you, when you, for instance, you need to take off for your child that is sick, you check within the team if it's possible. You also
talk to
the team.
So you're responsible for your team and not for, let's say, a department manager or a CEO or anybody. It's your team that you are responsible for. As long as you check with your team and you coordinate with your team, you are free to do whatever is suitable for you. And of course, you always take care of the project and of the team and make sure that if you are not there, there anybody else who can take it. But apart from that, as long as the task is solved, as long as the customers get what they are promised, and as long as the team works fine, everything is fine. They will find their own way of doing it. So we don't have any other, methods for overall methods. Of course, we try to learn of best practices within management, etc. We have participated in the Seven Habits course, etc. We try to elaborate on what's good practice, what's knowledge within this field. But apart from that, each team tries to find their own way of managing their work.
Okay. Let's move into the A of CARE, agility. It's all about being flexible, adaptive, working faster. But agility for me is also, for instance, about diversity and inclusion, about working with people from different backgrounds, different nationalities. You yourself, you have a Turkish background, if I'm correct. Is your company more diverse because you're a diverse leader?
Yeah, I mean, diversity is a kind of our DNA. I believe in diversity as the as an innovative precondition. And I have experienced in my more than 30 years professional life that innovation is created by people who are different, who see different from different perspectives. So being aware about the value of diversity has always driven me in my recruitment. That's why we have around 50-50 division between men and women. And in the software world, You know that
it's very rare.
It's very rare because, I mean, we have young guys coming with very good software skills, but we have two young women in our IT project management, and it's not usual either. Normally, IT project managers are maybe on my age or just below, in the 40s, having experience, and the old school, working with Excel sheets and defining what to do. We have done it completely different. These young women who started as a trainees, so from school, coming into the company, starting as a trainee, got this job, and they really grew up with this job. And now we have and this kind of working where they are facilitators to the others works much better for us than having the classic IT manager telling everybody what to do and giving KPIs. Like say, you have this time and this is the success criteria and then we meet, etc. And this is something that we have experimented with and found out. It was not the plan from the start. Again, it was from the necessity. First of all, it was difficult to find. Secondly, I would like to have diverse teams. So having more men and experienced men within IT would not help our diversity. We have found our way of doing this just by doing it our own way. And I really can see the effect of this diverse way of doing it because we have much more dynamic and agile IT team than usual.
And the classical approach.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. Let's move over to reliability. You work as a small, medium company mm-hmm. For clients worldwide, mm-hmm. actually, both in private and public sectors. How do you build that reliable, trustworthy relationship with, first of all, these organizations all over the world, but secondly, with a team that is so flexible and working when they want and how they want and when they are on holiday and whatever. How do you build those reliable relationships?
Yeah, I think trust is the main component. The rest is soft. As an example, we have a support team about 6 to 8 people. They are all young people, women. almost all have small children, and there's not one day without that their children sick and they are not able to come to the office, etc. I never talk about working hours with them, etc. I just register that it's done. Customers get support. They are happy, and the customers are happy. So I just tell to myself, well, then everything should be okay, because that's the criteria. But how they do it, honestly, I'm impressed. I don't know, but they do it. They coordinate, they change, they take the phone from home somehow. There was one day or 2 days where everybody was sick and it was not possible to coordinate. And then we took over. I took over the support, the marketing team took over. And this is what you can do when you work without hierarchies and when you work agile, because we are not, the support is not closed to support only. And vice versa, when we make marketing, we always ask support. They are in connection with our customers, with the clients. They know what's important, what's on their agenda. And we also ask our programmers. Mm-hmm. Imagine you are a programmer, you maybe start in HR with as a trainee from your studies, you come in, you program, and you program a career page for, let's say, TV2, the national TV station. You are maybe 19 years old, maybe it's your first code, you code something, you change the color, you something, and then your code is out to millions of people, right? And then they call you from the TV2, say, hey, this is really great, could we do it just a bit more to left, and how about this color? You do it. And are you proud? Yes, you're proud. You also get the feeling that what you do, what you have learned about programming, is about helping people. Mm-hmm. So the relation between programming and the outcome. Mm-hmm. That's why we also use our programmers when we work with our marketing material. And in fact, our programmers are also supporters. They are able to take the support. Yes, some of them are introvert, and this is the nature of being able to focus on something in long term. But as long as it's not full time, they are happy to take over some time, and they are really also enjoy it.
And it's also interesting that everybody knows a little bit from the other's job, because then there is more empathy, right, for each other.
Exactly.
So let's talk about empathy. How important is it in the business of human resources to truly listen to others?
I mean, of course, in the business of human resources, it's so important to knowing how do we help other people? What is their situation? When we give them this tool and this solution, how does it affect them? And when they call us and they maybe have some complaints or they have some ideas, why? So understanding them make just everything meaningful. It's just make everything meaningful. Yeah.
We did in Belgium a benchmark study. It's called the Care Scan. It's developed by a market research agency. And we asked 2,000 Belgium employees, how does your employer score on the care principles? And on empathy, the score was 55%. Do you think it would be higher in Denmark or in your experience? Do you think the Danish are more empathetic?
I think involving everybody in your company with the product and with the customers creates empathy, creates meaningfulness, and creates understanding. As my example with the programmers, if they did not have the connection with the customer using this code, they would maybe not be aware that somebody in the other end are dependent on their code, and somebody in the other end are really thankful for what they are doing. And this is also what we get, that we get engaged people because they understand the value. Because you get it one-to-one and without sanctions, the truth. I mean, if they are happy, they will tell you they are happy. If not, they will tell you they are not. So I'm also typically asked, how can you explain that the employees are that engaged in HRON? I think to myself, how can I explain it? I mean, when you get the customer in the phone or you talk and you see the light in the customer's eye and you see that you make somebody happy, help somebody with their work, daily work, of course you will be engaged. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. So whatever you do, whether it's accounting or marketing or programming or marketing, it's important to have to know why we are doing it.
Yeah.
Why are we doing it? How do we help people? And also to be in touch with the people who are using it.
Mm.
It makes the difference as regards empathy, engagement, and meaningfulness.
Yeah. I understand. If you look at your business model that you have created 10 years ago and all the principles that you apply, and the care that you have for people, it's really profitable because you even share it with your employees. It's a model that really works, right? You really have a really balanced and a new kind of business model. Why don't more companies copy that?
Yeah, this is a good question, because when I am out for keynote speaks and when I talk about this within different social network and professional network, I get this typical question, and I have never met almost anybody who was against this. This is something which is supported. Everybody's have sympathy for this approach, but doing it actually is difficult. And why? I think it's about habits. Because when I talk to people, they really honestly and sincerely trust that this is good. I mean, you get a much better working environment, much more engaged people, and you get better products, so better solutions. So what's not to like? It's our habits. I mean, I sometimes compare with the phone, you know, the line, the old phone lines, what is it called? The home phones you had?
Yeah, the fixed lines.
The fixed lines.
Yeah.
And the mobile. I mean, there are people still using fixed phone lines. Of course, It's your choice, but if you don't change, maybe it's more about the habits. I mean, the willingness to change your habits.
Yeah. Final question, Ali. Where could people start to copy you, knowing that it's difficult, knowing that we all have these old habits? What is a good way to start doing business differently? Yeah. Where can we copy you?
I think the good way is to look at the lower hanging fruit. That is, what can I change without making a revolution today? How can I improve my work today? Let's say it could be looking into the working hours, looking in at solving a problem in a team somehow, giving them the empowerment to do something rather than micromanaging. I mean, all companies have those different tasks where it will be obvious to look at how can we do this without controlling and doing it better. So instead of thinking about let's make a plan and let's revolutionize everything, and when we make this plan within this year and then we will have this success criteria and then we will prove this and that, it will not work because the reality is faster than us. Mm-hmm. The environment changes, we change, everything changes. You can't simply plan to this. But if you trust that people will do their best, and if you give them the room, then you will see the result. And maybe instead of planning everything, let people find the solutions. This was something I found out because I have teached academics for more than 10 years. You know, at that time I was younger and I was eager to do my best, planning everything. And once I was told by a participant, why don't you let us solve that? Okay, I mean, starting with team building, I have made a good team building plan for you. Then we do this, and why don't you let us do that? I thought, okay, let's try. Then we tried it. It was amazing. They had the craziest ideas after team build. I could just look and enjoy. I thought to myself, wow, I have the solution here. Why did I make it so hard for myself? So the companies could also do it like this, giving people the chance and the room and just look and enjoy. If something doesn't work, you can always change, but starting from very small steps.
Giving it a try and accepting that it's with failure and step by step.
Sure.
Thank you so much, Ali. Mm-hmm. It was really, really interesting to have you as my guest. Thank you for the people at home for watching. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to share it and take care.
Want to create lasting impact with your brand while feeding sustainable growth? Check out thecareprinciples.com and see how we can help you. 16 Minutes of Care is an independent production from Isabel Verstraeten, brand strategist, founder of The Care Principles, and author of the book, Does Your Brand Care? Help us reach more companies who are looking for caring and sustainable growth by giving this podcast all the stars it deserves and by sharing it in your network. Thank you and take care.